And I think what we'll see is an undoubted number of opportunities that we haven't even envisioned yet.
Welcome to Inside the New UW, a podcast where we explore the projects, people, and policies that drive the Wisconsin idea forward. Each episode, we will bring different people and perspectives together to discuss the challenges and opportunities facing the UW today. This episode, we dive into the catalyst for the biggest change to the UW system since the 1970s and how it's adjusting to meet changing demographics and changing workforce needs. I'm your host, Nicole Ansbach from UW System Administration. With me today is my guest host, Molly Vidal, former Chief of Staff and External Relations Director for UW Colleges and Extension.
Nicole, thanks for having me. You know, it's really great to have an opportunity to interview two of the leaders of the UW Colleges and Extension Restructuring Project, which, as you said, was huge. So thanks to VP Rob Kramer and Interim VP Karen Schmidt for joining us today. Let's get started with you sharing a little bit about your experiences in higher ed before coming to the UW system.
My name is Karen Schmidt, and I'm the Interim Vice President for Academic and Student Affairs at the University of Wisconsin System Administration Office. I was, prior to coming to UW System Administration, I was the Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs at the University of Wisconsin Colleges. Prior to that, I spent, I'd say, over 25 years in higher education administration positions in western states of Washington and Alaska. Returned in 2017 to take the position at UW Colleges.
My name is Rob Kramer. I'm the Vice President for Administration at the University of Wisconsin System. And I have been in this role since January of 2017. Prior to that, I was the Chief Business Officer at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville for about 10 years.
I didn't realize that you just started in 17. Feels like you've been there a lot longer.
Some days.
Yeah. You packed a lot into a couple of years.
So, Rob, as the chair of the UW Colleges and Extension Restructuring Project Steering Committee, this first question is going to be for you. Why restructure?
So, Nicole, the short answer is to maintain access to higher education throughout Wisconsin. I think the longer answer is to really think about the context for higher education in Wisconsin and the demographics of the state. And when this was first announced, President Cross really focused on the challenges of enrollment. There'd been about a 32% decline in enrollment at the UW colleges since 2010. Some of the budget challenges, UW colleges had already done some restructuring to try and address their financial challenges. And then focusing on the economy and the workforce of the future and how do we do a better job aligning what's going on at all of our institutions with workforce needs in the state. The restructuring really was trying to identify long-term solutions to address those challenges and bringing together the 13 two-year campuses with seven of the UW's four-year comprehensive and research institutions is really intended to enable our future viability and sustainability of all UW campuses while doing that closer alignment between research and practice to meet workforce needs.
I guess one of the additional challenges that I think the restructuring did address was that what I would call the program challenges of the UW colleges as a single statewide institution. With the two-year college mission, the open access enrollment, in that it really was one program, a transfer program, and geographically the needs of offering additional programs at those sites was hard to overcome without merging those branches with the larger four-year institutions in their region. So I think that was an additional program challenge that has been benefited by restructuring, and we'll see that in some of the long-term outcomes. I think I would add the same note about the restructuring of UW Extension. It had four divisions with statewide missions for outreach, and each of those components has had a slightly different direction in the restructuring. The UW Cooperative Extension is being integrated with UW-Madison, and that's, I'd say, a historical tradition to have the extension outreach of a state cooperative extension office connected with its research land grant institution, and I think that history even was part of the Wisconsin tradition and the basis of the Wisconsin idea. So I think that meets that general direction and challenge of post-restructuring. I think the merger of the UW Extension's Continuing Education Outreach and E-Learning Unit within UW System Administration in our Office of Academic and Student Affairs reflects the idea that the President and the Board of Regents want to increase access to educational opportunities statewide in the online environment, and particularly the online associate's degree level, which colleges online program had traditionally provided for the state. So that we see that some of the restructuring of UW Extension was to connect to some of the strategies around the restructuring of UW colleges, as well as to reinforce and strengthen the Cooperative Extension's history of extension to the state of Wisconsin.
This is one of the larger restructuring projects in higher education and the largest for the UW since joining the University of Wisconsin with Wisconsin State Universities in 1971. How do you go about a project of this magnitude?
So the first step was President Cross proposing the restructuring to the Board of Regents. And the board approved the proposal to plan and implement the restructuring of UW colleges and extension in November of 2017. The next step the president took was to convene a steering committee to oversee the planning and implementation of the project. And that steering committee included representatives from all UW institutions, not just those that were involved in the restructuring, and then representatives of faculty, student, academic staff, and university governance groups. And I think that steering committee was very critical throughout the process to really bring together the issues, the ideas, the thoughts that the different campuses had, the different governance groups had around what this future state could look like. And in parallel, we established a project structure that pushed some of the responsibilities out to the receiving institutions, and they created their own essentially steering committees and project teams. And then centrally, within UW System Administration, we created a project group and established functional teams. So for example, one of the early functional teams was around financial aid to map out the path really from November of 2017 to the point where financial aid activity would be closed out for UW colleges. One of the challenges early on was a key first step was submission to our accrediting body, the HLC, because all of the institutions involved were accredited from the perspective of UW colleges and the receiving institutions, to submit a change in structure proposal to that body. And that was due in January of 2018. And that really has served as the roadmap for a lot of the activities. And under that, we're right now about halfway through phase one of the restructuring. The HLC approved the change in accreditation at the end of June 2018. And so we were able to then move forward with actual implementation. But I would say that accreditation framework has really helped guide this. And then the other part that has struck me in terms of just the boldness of this change and the amount of change involved has been the dedication and commitment of the faculty, the staff, the employees at the different campuses, and the real commitment to the education mission of access at the two-year institutions and moving that to the receiving institutions. That's been impressive throughout. And the engagement then by the people at the receiving institutions in making this work, recognizing that it would be a little bit different at each campus.
Karen, do you want to just touch a little bit on high level why it is important that everyone maintained accreditation in the restructuring?
The importance of accreditation really applied to the UW College's restructuring, since the UW Extension institution was not accredited under the Higher Learning Commission, the HLC as we refer to it. So in terms of the students, and we put students first in all of our planning, I think the students, in order for them to enable or to maintain their eligibility for federal financial aid under Title IV, the continuous accreditation of their admitted and enrolled status needed to be maintained first and foremost. So to do this, we needed to make sure that all of the same criteria that the institution would meet having these branch campuses part of their accredited institution, that is the receiving institutions, the seven universities that received the branch campuses, they needed to meet those same standards continuously throughout this transition. So the as Rob said, using the criteria for accreditation and for what constitutes a branch campus that meets the criteria under HLC, we were able to structure the entire agreements in the transition, and we were able to convince and I think made a very effective case to the Higher Learning Commission's board to approve our request to restructure and change the control to the 7 accredited receiving institutions. And again, that maintained continuity of service, continuity of enrollment, and then again, the eligibility for the federal financial aid that students benefit from by having that accreditation on their regional institutions. So for students, it was very important, maintaining both the quality of their educational experience, the outcomes and the learning that they were enrolled to seek, but also to maintain their ability to afford and finance it if they were taking advantage of the financial aid opportunities that UW colleges had afforded them.
Karen, as someone who's been on both sides of the restructuring, originally as the provost, as you mentioned, and vice chancellor of UW College, and now in your interim role at UW System, can you speak to the goals of the restructuring project?
Sure. I think this has been the guiding framework that we've all used in restructuring. As I said, we try to put the students' needs first, and I think second, the state's needs, and I think our goals reflect some of both. The goals to expand access to higher education, maintain affordability, and to increase opportunities really can be structured in terms of how the student experiences those outcomes of their education, as well as how the communities and the state benefits from the institution's mission and structure to accomplish those. I guess I think that to add to some of what Rob said before about what made a project of this magnitude possible, I think the commitment of leadership, and that's from the Board of Regents to the President, to the chancellors of the institutions that we're restructuring, I really think that the goals reflect a positive vision of the future of higher education in Wisconsin, and that really reflects and responds to the state's needs to educate more learners, not the traditional audience that colleges, UW colleges had served, but to support more students in more communities that are beyond the traditional campus boundaries as well. And I think that's really the essence of the Wisconsin idea. And so restructuring is creating a new landscape, so to speak, in our higher education system that will allow us to serve student needs from the online learner to the campus learner to a first-time, first-generation student all the way through the research and applied research that we see the benefits from in our communities and our economy. So I think there's a lot of layering of the goals, but I think the fundamental expanding access is going to allow us to provide more programming to more students in different and new ways that will meet needs for more than our traditional student population of UW colleges. I think the maintaining affordability, which may be one of the bigger challenges in today's fiscal environment, is going to be something that will represent a visible commitment of the state and the counties, which were a significant partner in our funding structures for UW colleges, to maintaining education in our entire state or across the state on those campuses. And I think what we'll see is an undoubted number of opportunities that we haven't even envisioned yet, a lot more of the traditional opportunities for bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, access on some of the campuses, as well as in the online environment. We're going to definitely see a diversification of our strategies to engage more learners in the workplace, in pre-college programming, in ways that the UW colleges as a transfer institution wasn't able to do. So the partnerships that our four-year institutions can take on now are going to bring us a wealth of opportunities, many of which we haven't even envisioned yet. So I think I look forward to seeing the new and emerging opportunities that our restructuring will bring to the communities across the state.
Rob, do you have anything you would like to add about the goals of the project and possibly expanding on what each of these goals means beyond the obvious definitions of access, affordability, and opportunity?
I would, and I think Karen hit some good points on that. It's been interesting to watch the evolution of thinking as we've moved from when the board first approved this to where we are now in the project. And the receiving institutions clearly are identifying different ways that they can promote the access mission. So for example, University of Wisconsin-Platteville has two branch campuses now, one at Baraboo and one at Richland Center. They're talking about bringing some of their agricultural programs to Richland Center, which is a very agriculture-oriented area. while at the same time partnering with UW-Stout, not a receiving institution, to look at bringing some hospitality programs to the Baraboo campus, which is very close to the Wisconsin Dells, mm-hmm. one of Wisconsin's major tourism mm-hmm. destinations. And that is a way of providing access that I don't think people were thinking about it in November of 2017. At the same time, UW-Stevens Point is looking at bringing potentially nursing and MBA programs to its two branch campuses based on more of the local needs. So that move from the statewide mission of transfer to really trying to align the academic programs, the offerings at the branch campuses with what the region is looking for is very exciting. So that's a mm-hmm. twist on the axis that I don't know was on anybody's radar when we first started. The affordability is going to be very important because that is such a key piece of higher education now as we think about going forward. And again, each campus I think is going to look at trying to do that in some different ways, but really focusing still on, if you're interested in those first 2 years at a branch campus, that should be a lower cost way to access that. But again, campuses I think are being creative. UW-Whitewater with UW-Rock County has some students who attend Rock County living in the Whitewater residence halls, mm-hmm. both as a way to start to understand the Whitewater main campus, but as a way to provide and meet their housing needs, and they're running a bus back and forth. So that's an exciting way to think about, you know, how do you promote affordability. And then the opportunities, I think, ties back a little bit to what I mentioned with Platteville with respect to the academic programs there. But also Milwaukee is doing some very exciting things, I think, with their two campuses around creating more opportunities. Green Bay is talking about really the idea of some new programs at their campuses. Oshkosh, one campus, three locations, I think is their motto. So the opportunities are going to be a little bit different in each area of the state, and that will be exciting going forward. And we're just starting to see the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So these are all very big goals: expanding access, maintaining affordability, and increasing opportunities. How are we making sure that those goals are being met? How do we even quantify some of those things?
Well, one of the things that we did in the higher learning, the HLC application for change of control, is to set up some structure of accountability. And our commitment as a UW system was to create a component of our accountability dashboard that would reflect measures that are representative of those three goals. I think the offering of courses on the campuses was one of the measures. The cost of tuition on the campuses, obviously an easy one to measure. And I think the opportunities we could reflect in a number of different ways. So we're working on refining those to really represent the diversity of ways that the goals are being, pursued and accomplished. So we should have a section of our accountability dashboard that will reflect the sort of ongoing measures of accountability to the specifics of those goals. But I think to the larger, maybe more visionary goals, and again, I think this is turning toward future planning as we look at the new institutional structures we have, that the UW system has just recently made the decision to go ahead with an implementation of an analytics approach, a technological tool and investment to help us increase the student success outcomes of students across the system, not just in our receiving institutions or our restructured institutions, but all of the institutions outside of our research institution at Madison are going to be implementing what is called the UW Student Success Collaborative with the help of a technology from a company called the Education Advisory Board, the EAB Student Success Collaborative Model. So we're making a big investment in student outcomes, I would say, from the student perspective. This is a follow-on investment of restructuring to help our campuses learn to advise students from start to finish wherever they start, at a branch campus, a main campus, to improve their retention, persistence, and completion rates in ways that not only make the student experience more efficient, but it's also an affordability support. It's going to help us provide access to students in the open access, open enrollment campuses, the two-year branch campuses, be more successful in their college level work. And in a lot of different ways, each institution now gets to engage with their specific issues and to identify them using a very data-informed and analytics approach, which was one of our goals in the 2020 Forward Strategic Framework under the 360 Advising initiative that our office has been supporting. So I think we're starting to build on the specifics of the restructuring objectives we defined in the HLC proposal, but really going beyond that, and for all of our institutions, seeing student success in those dimensions is an important thing that we want to support and maintain and have the data, and not only to be accountable, but to improve on how we affect students and serve the state.
Rob, would you like to add to how we're tracking our progress in meeting these goals and how accountability measures have been built into the overall efforts?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things I'd touch on. One of the pieces around this that was a priority in the conversations early on, but as we got more into it, I think just was assumed, and so it was less of a upfront conversation, was really focusing on identifying opportunities to standardize and regionalize administrative operations and services to try and efficiently use our resources. UW institutions have been through a number of budget cuts over the last several years, and prior to the restructuring, the board had adopted a strategic framework 2020 forward that included a priority area around operational reform and excellence. And the restructuring project really ties into that in one way that's important as we think about how do we standardize, consolidate, not physically, but operationally, different non-instructional services and then streamline those. And so as we've moved through this, we've really tried to be intentional thinking about how do we deliver services during this phase one transition year, but then coming out of that, where are there opportunities to really change our administrative approach? And again, focusing first and foremost on standardizing activities, but then looking at the right ways to deliver that. And so a subsequent project is the aggressive pursuit of shared services, particularly across the non-research comprehensive institutions. And there we're trying to build on both lessons from the restructuring and lessons from what campuses have been doing. So for example, UW Eau Claire has spent a number of years really focusing on their business processes, and they actually started providing some services to other campuses in that region. So we want to learn from those activities and how they restructured things internally a couple years ago. UW-Milwaukee also had done some restructuring internally of how they deliver their administrative services and learn from that, and learn from others around the country that are doing shared services. So that is going to be a part of the next projects that this helped set the table for, and really I think provided the catalyst to help us move in that path much faster. We had been pursuing standardization projects, but this really helped take it to the next level.
I think one of the things that we can anticipate working on over the next year, say, as part of our UW Student Success Collaborative effort is going to be focused on advising. Also, again, because of the restructuring, we're going to be also looking a lot at transfer. And I think the transfer really has three components, and I think that's one we didn't really touch on before. We're going to be working particularly to create the seamless transfer experience. Again, one of the 2020 forward goals has been to make transfer as seamless as possible, primarily from the student perspective. So we're working on the student experience, which is what the restructuring has affected maybe the most in the short term, because students on the two-year branch campuses traditionally would transfer to a four-year institution. They're now part of an institution, and how they're able to transfer either to their regional receiving four-year institution or other institutions which they may choose to pursue their programs at is going to be something that we would like to really make as seamless as possible. But we're now working across four-year institutions instead of with the UW College's system of campuses. So I think that's a big area of focus. I think also we're also making a significant change into our technology that is supporting transfer, the transfer information system, as we like to call it, TIS, is undergoing a major redesign, and we'll be implementing a new system, again, of technology to help us support that, but it'll be much improved in terms of the data that will help students understand their transfer decisions in terms of curriculum and different institutional choices for their transfer. And the third area we're continuing to work on is the transfer curriculum and the restructuring of the UW colleges. Their catalog, their course offerings, and their degree programs were all transferred to the seven receiving institutions. Over the next year, the faculty at those institutions are looking at the curriculum to ensure that it's integrated within their own catalogs on their campuses. And as we've talked about, each institution is choosing to do that in its own way that will suit its needs for students and for programs. So I think we'll be continuing to work on the general education curriculum that is the heart and the core of the Associates of Arts and Sciences degree that is the traditional UW college's degree. But we'll be seeing it integrated within the receiving institutions as well as our technology for transfer information systems and hopefully to create and maintain and create and eventually improve the student experience for a seamless transfer. So I think those two areas are student success advising and seamless transfer are going to continue to be part of the focus for the next year.
Why is transfer important?
Well, transfer is important, again, because it creates that pathway for students entering college at the two-year level to transfer to a four-year institution to complete their baccalaureate.
And that's pretty common now for students to transfer.
We do have a very significant percentage of students who complete their degree at an institution they didn't start at, and that transfer comes in many directions. And I think one of the areas related to transfer is the working with our partner system in the state, the Wisconsin Technical College System. Many of the students who come to the University of Wisconsin four-year institutions do start at a tech college. And so there are a significant number of transfer-in students who would come as well. And so we're hoping to work on improving the transfer pathways for them as well. And I think they're often co-located with our two-year branch campuses. We're very near in proximity and have had long-term partnerships and working relationships with them, which are now transferring to the four-year institutions. So transfer is very important to students. It's a significant number of students who will use credits that they've earned at other institutions, whether it's in Wisconsin or elsewhere. And so we want to make sure we serve them, again, as our commitment to expanding the pool of what might be considered non-traditional students that the UW colleges served.
And that's an affordability issue, too, if you're taking redundant courses.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for students, it definitely, the more credits that they can take and apply toward their degree, and it allows them to complete faster and more efficiently, which is definitely an affordability factor for students.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned student support services, and we recently had our six-month standard review by the Higher Learning Commission. As they checked in on our progress on the restructuring project, and one of the areas that they noted of interest is how we are ensuring that student support services continue at the level that they had been at UW colleges, now at the receiving institutions. Can you speak to how we're addressing maintaining service levels for students as the 4 years begin servicing more non-traditional students than they had previously?
Well, right now this is an area of our campus operations that's in the transition of the phase 1 year. So I think what we're doing is we've created the sort of this bridge year to allow our campus branch campus students services staff and faculty that are supporting the students there to integrate with the seven different structures of our receiving institutions. And I think that's one of the strategies, is to let each institution look at that, how that integration is best aligned within their own organs or with their own structure for student services. So we're seeing some very, I'd say, innovative models of integration, and I think that each of those will have benefits to students that will emerge. We are finding that the critique that we're getting is that our resources for providing these services in the models after the phase 1 year, where we still have maintained the college's structure and we're integrating with the receiving institution structure, is a challenge. And so right now we're looking at ways, like our investment in the Student Success Collaborative, to I guess redesign and reimagine how we can do these services better. The philosophy isn't the same in terms of trying to reduce the services or make them more efficient. It's really to make sure they meet the standards that are expected for an accredited institution, and that may take some resources that we will be looking for to bring from other areas of the college's reorganization and restructuring as we go through that, and as we finish this year. We're also working with each of the seven receiving institutions to look at how can we, in their structure, meet those student needs. But it is a challenge right now.
Rob, would you like to add to how we have addressed challenges as they've arisen throughout this process. It's a large project, and
what
I think
challenges. That's such a huge project.
I think as we look back on what we've accomplished over the last year, we've made a lot of progress, and but it certainly hasn't been without its challenges. But how have we dealt with them?
I think that's a really good question. And again, when this was announced, it was a very bold step that came about very quickly, but it was the planning and implementation. And so thinking about the different challenges, part of it has been just listening and let people talk through concerns, questions, their priorities, what they think's important for the future to provide the services to all the different students who UW Colleges were serving and all the people in all the communities that UW Extension was serving. And that has been remarkably constructive, hearing the different perspectives and seeing where the common ground is and identifying what feels like the right path forward in different places. I think another piece of it has been the technical challenges, because we're taking a set of 13 branch campuses that were accredited as one body with very varying integrated information technology systems and moving those out to the receiving institutions, which had different systems, different processes, different technologies in place. So giving technical teams enough time through this planning to implementation to identify how to deconstruct, move, and reconstruct things, whether it be student data or emergency communications, notification systems, or support for online instruction, whether it's synchronous or asynchronous. Communications is a big project that this is always a challenge. And I think we did well in some areas and could have improved in some other areas with communications. I think that's always an outcome in a big project. And I think part of it was, again, I'll go back to the steering committee, just having that very visible public body where people could bring their issues and concerns and really talk through it. And I've been impressed by that group and the chancellor's leadership throughout this. The chancellors at the receiving institutions really stepped forward and said, we're going to figure out with the different communities, with the faculty, the students, the counties, the cities who own the facilities, how to make this work. And that's been very impressive to watch.
When things were really challenging and folks were making really hard decisions, what was your organizing value or principle that you kind of went back to that kept you centered in the middle of all that?
So personally for me, it was listening carefully and finding ways to express gratitude to the people who were working very diligently on this, because there were a lot of people who already had demanding jobs, and this was put on top of those demanding jobs, and their approach was remarkable. And so just expressing gratitude to them.
Yeah.
I think I would add the one of the guiding stars on a lot of the thinking, and particularly working on the UW College side, is putting the students first. And I had a particularly personal sort of connection to that because my nephew, and I always talk about him, his first name is Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
That's right. He's a freshman now at one of the two-year campuses, and so I knew that a lot of the discussions, it would be easy to have the Tyler test. It's like, well, what would Tyler think of that decision in terms of a student perspective? And, you know, kind of keeping that in my mind was always something that helped to often, you know, guide a decision if you had several choices that you don't always know on these decisions whether one choice or another, how it's going to actually work out, what the result will be. But you could generally measure it by, like, well, what would the students see or feel, or how would they feel about that decision next year or the year after that? So I think that those kinds of discussions were really easier to have as well if we kept it in that sort of a framework. It wasn't about you or me, us or them. It was really about what would the students benefit most from.
What is something that has maybe surprised you as we've gone through this process? I don't think anyone on the project has gone through a restructuring of this size before, even if they've worked on restructurings at other institutions. Is there anything that's happened that has surprised you, either in a good or a bad way?
Well, for me, and this is again to give recognition and appreciation to the faculty response, I think was tremendously positive in terms of like really digging in and doing some very difficult work during a regular academic year. I think the decision was relatively quickly made, and there's been a lot of discussion about that. But I think once people understood the rationale and the reasons and that, I guess, positive vision of this future restructured system, the faculty, the leadership, and the staff, really, at all of the institutions under the leadership of the chancellors took on the additional work, really thought a lot about how to take the structure of the UW colleges, which was a statewide single institution, and to break what were historical structures of departments, people who'd been colleagues and working on single curriculum, various processes over many years, were able to fairly quickly start working with a new set of colleagues that maybe they didn't know as well, really with the trust that this was the right thing in the best interest of the system and the state, but was going to be something that would be good for students in the long run. So I think the ability for people who weren't really prepared within a year to do this much work on this particular activity, who rose to that occasion under the leadership of people who, again, were very committed to it. But the amount of work that was done in a year is as historic as the restructuring, I think, that happened.
And we're not done yet, right?
Not yet.
Where are we now in the project?
So in January of 2018, when we submitted to the Higher Learning Commission, we submitted essentially a two-phase proposal. Planning was going to go through from January of 18 to June 30th of 2018, at which time we were planning to hear from the commission whether or not our restructuring was approved. Phase one was identified from July 1st of 2018 through June 30th of 2019. So we're about halfway through phase one, and then there's a phase two that we've outlined, again, in those materials. A lot of the phase one activity is really the transitioning of activities from the central units to the receiving institutions and that planning around academic programs looking forward. And then phase two is the starting to implement those things. So we've been at this for a while, and we're partway through phase one, yes, and we are on schedule.
It's human nature to want to close something out. So when would there be a benchmark that says we are done restructuring? Mission accomplished.
So every project needs to be closed. I think June 30th of 2020 is a likely candidate, but we're still uncovering threads of work, and some of the things will just take as long as they take. So for example, financial aid. We have to work with the Department of Education to go through all the steps there to really bring that to an end. And that will take the time it takes. The transition of records from UW College's extension to either the appropriate receiving institution, to the appropriate retention facility, or to appropriate disposal will take a fair amount of time, and that's not a glamorous thing. But it's a really important thing to get done at the end of the day. So there'll be a lot of those kind of things to close out. But then the really exciting parts of the restructuring go forward at the receiving institutions. And those are the things that really move from this more project feeling to their regular cycle of academic planning and how they see those programs going forward. So in some ways, the restructuring
never ends. It
moves into the normal course of activities at those campuses and those institutions. Now they have multiple locations, multiple branches.
From the access, affordability, and increased opportunity perspective on the academic side, how would you sort of signal mission accomplished?
Well, I think, as Rob mentioned, a lot of those outcomes are continuous improvement outcomes. Those will go on, and we will continue to strive to improve on all three of those areas. I kind of mark the maybe mission accomplished moment will be in the spring of 2020 when we graduate the first two-year campus graduates of the now receiving institutions. This fall we admitted the first UW-Platteville students at Richland, the first UW-Whitewater students at Rock. And so those students are now in their freshman year, spring semester, and they'll be another year if they're on track as a more traditional student anyway. So we'll have some of the first sort of initially admitted and then graduated, two-year campus students graduating in the spring of 20. So I sort of see that as kind of our speed at the speed of, or progress at the speed of students through our system. And we'll know that we've, you know, created that new pathway for students that starts and takes them to their destination, that new pathway. I think that probably we'll know organizationally when we're complete, when people sort of forget that we were any other way. In my experience, that takes about 5 years, and we're probably in year two of that process. So I think that's kind of on track with the timeline that Rob's talking about, and eventually we won't even have people who were hired or students who've graduated outside of the system as it is, as we see it today.
So to that point, 5 years from now, when everyone has forgotten that you guys were in the middle of all of this, what will you take away as your most proud moment or thing that you accomplished in the middle of this?
So that's a really interesting question. I think the pieces that have been really rewarding are, again, the work of the steering committee and the campus groups and getting out and visiting the receiving institutions and hearing how they were starting to see the opportunities and the potential of these new regional institutions with one or two, or in the case of UW Green Bay, three branch campuses. So going out and visiting in the future. It was very cool this past summer seeing a student up near Marinette with a UW Green Bay -Marinette shirt on. That was fun to see, that very concrete example of progress.
And there was a lot of work to get that sweatshirt, just the name.
The so, naming yeah. of alone was its own thread of work, yes. Yeah.
For another episode.
Naming, another episode.
And I think probably some of the most rewarding work, anyway, has been working with my colleagues and peers at the provost level. I think we've, the chancellor's provided that visible institutional leadership, but I think the provost were the internal advocates for the restructuring along the lines of the faculty and the students, and making sure that their experience in this restructuring was recognized and it was optimized to the structures and the processes that they would be coming into their institution. So it was sort of felt like, we felt sort of like parents, I think, a little bit, making sure that we were looking after all the details so that the transitions would work well. So I think the opportunity to actually be involved in making some of the decisions that will affect faculty careers, that will affect student lives, and things that we are going to see in the outcomes as numbers. They're very personal in terms of people who did the work. So I think that was a great opportunity. So it's been a privilege to do that.
Thank you both so much for your time this afternoon. It has been insightful to hear more about the work that went into this historic and transformative project. We look forward to exploring some of the themes you covered today in more depth in future episodes, especially regarding the goals and sort of the mission of the project, expanding access to higher education, maintaining affordability, increasing opportunities, and learning more about some of these other projects that relate back to that with shared services and the Student Success Collaborative. So thank you both for your time.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to Rob and Karen. It was great to hear two different perspectives on this historic project.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear Karen's perspective on the memorializing of the missions of colleges and extension, you know, hitting on that access, affordability, and opportunity pieces. And she really did hit the ground running, seeing as she just joined the UW in 2017.
And I appreciated Rob's perspective on operationalizing change. We'd love to hear from you, our listeners, about what resonated with you. Send us your feedback at uwrestructuring@uwsa.edu. That sound means it's time for this episode's shout-out, where we recognize the hard work of people across the UW system who are delivering on the Wisconsin idea every day. Send your suggestions for future shout-outs to universityrelations@uwsa.edu. Molly is our guest host. We'd like to give you the opportunity to pick the shout-out of the episode.
Oh, thanks. That's quite the opportunity. There are a lot of individuals and groups that have worked tirelessly since this restructuring started in 2017. But I think for this inaugural episode, I'd like to give a shout out to all the accreditation liaison officers on the receiving institutions who really had to dig in and help prepare their institutions not only for their accreditation reports, but also for the Higher Learning Commission's six-month focus visit that just occurred in December. That was a lot of work, and a lot was riding on that accreditation, and in many ways, they're sort of the unsung heroes in the restructuring. So, shout out to the ALOs!
Thank you for being with us today, Molly. It's been a pleasure co-hosting this podcast with you. We hope that our listeners will join us again for our next episode as we dive deeper into the meaning of access and why it's important.
It is important.